Tonight we're going to talk about an important mitzvah mitzvah, a key aspect of our Seder experience, and that is the mitzvah of heseba, of leaning during the Seder. Now, most of us are familiar with this concept, this mitzvah mitzvah, this rabbinic requirement to lean at the Seder, but tonight we're going to get into some of the principles, the concepts, the lumdus, and a few of the practicalities. We'll begin just with the introductory context, I guess you could say. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, "Bechol dor v'dor chayav adam laharos es atzmo." In every generation, a person is obligated to demonstrate ki'ilu hu ba'atza yatza atam yishibud Mitzrayim, as if he or she, himself or herself, left now from the servitude of Egypt. That's halacha vav. Halacha Zion, the Rambam says, Lefichach, therefore, Kishesoed Adam Balaila Hazet Sarach Lecho Velishtos Vuhu Mesiv Derecherust. Therefore, when a person eats and drinks on this night, on Seder night, a person is obligated to do so Bederech Cherus, in the manner of freedom, and that is Beheseba, leaning. So, this din of Heseba, according to the Rambam, is to fulfill the mitzvah of Cherus. Now, what's interesting, fascinating, is that there's actually a beautiful medrash. This medrash, if you look, it's quoted in the Torah Shleiman, Os Reish Nadalid. It says in the Pasuk, Vayasev Hashem Elokim, that when God took us out of Egypt, he took us out in a circuitous manner, Vayasev. But the medrash says, Hotzianu, he took us out with Heseba, with this idea of leaning, which we'll get back to later a little bit, but the idea that Heseba took us out in a comfortable manner. And that's why the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the beginning of the 10th Perek, Chayvu lechol, the Chachamim obligated us to eat, Kishu Mesev, Kederech Sha'ochlan HaMalachim V'Agedolim, Kadesh Yeh Derech Eres. In the manner of royalty, we eat on Seder night like kings and queens, and therefore we lean. If you think about it, in antiquity, how did people dine? They sat on couches, and they leaned over on the couch, and they had a little table in front of them, which is why in the Gemara, when we describe taking and removing the Seder table, you have to imagine they had a little card table in front of them on which they were eating, and that's what you're taking in and out. So what is the nature of this obligation to eat b'derech cherus? What's the nature of this mitzvah? So one way to analyze this, says the Halakha Briska Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, he died in the 1950s, he was the uncle of Rabbi Joseph E. Soloveitchik, the son of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. He says, I want you to pay close attention to a halacha that appears in the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel. The Rosh says, in the context of Heseba, that if a person does not do Heseba, they don't lean when they are supposed to, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, at least at minimum when they eat matzah, they have to re-eat the matzah, which interestingly is quoted, if you look here in your sources, in source number 16, the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Tafayin Beis, O Zion says this as a halacha, which for Sfardim we're super machmir. Kol mi shetzarech haseba imalcha lo shasab lo haseba lo yatza v'tzarech lachzor v'lechol v'lishtos b'haseba. So the Briska Rav wonders, what is the nature of this din of haseba? Why is it that if you eat your matzah and you did not lean, at least if you're Sfardic, you have to redo it? We'll see for Ashkenazim we're going to be more lenient, but for Sfardim you got to redo it. Why is that? Well, it must be, according to the Rush, that the din of Heseba is a condition of the fulfillment of your mitzvah of matzah. It's a condition of your fulfillment of the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, of the four cups. Meaning, of course you have a mitzvah of matzah, you have a mitzvah to eat a kazayas, at least basic one olive's worth of matzah. And what we're saying is that the way to eat that matzah is by eating a kazayas worth. Eating one minimum amount, beheseba, in a leaning fashion. The leaning modifies the mitzvah of matzah. That's one way to look at this mitzvah. The other way, says the Briska Rav, is the way that the Rambam understands the mitzvah. The Rambam says, and we said it before, The Rambam says, "Kishesoid on the balayla hazeh," when you eat on this night. If someone asked the Rambam, is there a mitzvah to eat gefilte fish beheseba, leaning over? The Rambam would say, yes. The Rambam would say, Harei zem beshubach. If you eat your chicken soup, if you eat it beheseba, that is a beautiful kiyum. That is a fulfillment of the Rambam's mitzvah beheseba of derech eros. So says Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, says Rabbi Belville, he says, I don't understand. According to the Rush, that Heseba is a condition, it's a quality which the Chachamim attached to every mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah to eat gefilte fish on the night of the Seder? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is halachically, no. There is no mitzvah to eat gefilte fish or chicken soup or matzah balls. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah. There's a mitzvah to drink dalad kosos. So according to the Rambam, if you're doing heseba, if you're leaning in the context of chicken soup and gefilte fish, it must be, says Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, that the Rambam understands that the mitzvah of heseba, of demonstrating freedom, is an independent mitzvah. It is not a condition of the mitzvah of matzah, of the mitzvah of dalet kosos. Rather, it's an independent din. One halacha is that we have to eat matzah. Another halacha is that we're supposed to do heseba. It happens to be that you do heseba when you eat matzah, but it's not a condition. What's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference? So these two questions. Number one, do you have to redo it? According to the Rambam, says Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, if you ate your matzah without leaning, you don't need a redo. Why not? Because the fact that you didn't lean doesn't take away from your mitzvah of matzah. Your mitzvah's matzah is good. Leaning has nothing to do with your mitzvah of matzah. Leaning has to do with your mitzvah of leaning. Whereas according to the Rush, that's why you have to go back. But similarly, the opposite nafkamina, according to the Rush, there's no reason to do a heseba to lean when you're eating chicken soup. Whereas according to the Rambam, there is. So practically, halacha lemaisa, most people are not noeg b'zman hazeh like the Rambam. People do not eat when they eat their gefilte fish, lean when they eat their gefilte fish. But we follow the Rush that we have to make sure to eat with heseba. If you're Sephardic, it's going to be very essential that you do that. But if you're Ashkenaz, then you don't have to worry about it so much. Why not? Why does the Rambam tell us that here in Haggah, V'yesh Omrim, there are those who say, D'bizman hazeh de'ein derech lahasev, that since it's not the normal way of leaning, kedai or rav yalis mokolo b'shebedyevi yatzeh b'lo heseba. If you ate and you forgot to lean, it's okay b'dyevid. What is this? This is the opinion of the Rav Yah, source number 15. U'bizman hazeh, normally today, she'ein regilos ba'artzeinu lahasev, she'ein regilos b'nei chorin lahasev, today nobody eats lying down on the couch, nobody eats leaning down on the side of their chair, and therefore, bizman hazeh, it doesn't demonstrate freedom. If you go to my house, I come to your house on the night of the Seder, I'm not noticing anything unusual. The fact that you're leaning or not leaning, that's totally fine. And therefore, ideally, of course, you should lean. But bidyeved, if you forgot to lean, bidyeved, post facto, it's okay. Bidyeved, you were still yotze your mitzvah. You don't have to go back. So for Ashkenazim, we're going to be more lenient. But here's what's really interesting, is that when it comes to women, there in Or HaChaim, in Tuf Ayin Beis, the Ramah says, even though there is some question, there is some distinction about whether or not women are obligated to do heseba, and the Shulchan Aruch says, if a woman is an Isha Chashuva, a prominent woman, then she does do heseba, and the Ramah says, all of our women are prominent, but we practically don't have, generally, women doing heseba. If you can, of course, you want to. If you want to, you totally can, but you don't have to. Why? Ki sam chal divrei Rav Yah. They rely on the Rav Yah, Rebbe Elazar ben Yoel HaLevi, this great Rishon from Ashkenaz, from 800 years ago, who says that bizman hazeh, you don't have to. So here's the question. Why do you think it is that women would rely on this comment of the Rav Yah that bizman hazeh, in today's day and age, we don't worry about leaning as much because practically people don't demonstrate freedom by leaning? Why is that specifically for women? We mentioned before, number one, it's good for men, b'shas hadchak b'dyeved, post facto. But why is it that women, many women, are not going to lean even a priori? Even l'chatchila, they're not going to lean. Because the Ramah says they'll rely on the Rav Yah. Why do women rely on the Rav Yah? The Rav Yah is the one who said that today we don't demonstrate freedom by leaning. So what does it have to do? Why do women have to do with the Rav Yah? What do you think? So Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita has a spectacular pshat in this. You ready? Buckle up. Awesome pshat. there is a basic question when it comes to women's observance of mitzvos. Why is it that women are observing certain mitzvos, and why is it they are not observing others? Right? We know that there are different rules. So one rule is that when you have a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, a time-bound mitzvah, women are not obligated, right? However, there are some time-bound mitzvos that women, the Gemara says, are obligated because af hein hayu ba'osu hanes. They were also part of that miracle. Either they precipitated the miracle or they participated and were saved in that miracle. So therefore, women are going to participate just like women were saved from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and actually women precipitated the Geula. They were the cause, b'schus nashim tzikanios, and the merit of the righteous women. So therefore, women are going to be obligated in Dalakosos and in Heseba. So here's a question. We have many mitzvos that are Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. For example, like Tefillin. Tefillin is Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. So why are women not obligated in Tefillin? Or sitting in a sukkah. Strictly speaking, women are not obligated to sit in a sukkah. So why is it that this idea of Afin Hayo Os Ba'osu Hanes, it only applies to Dalet Kosos, to the drinking the four cups, or it applies to Megillas Esther, to hearing the Megillah that women are obligated, but it doesn't apply to Sukkah and Tefillin? So here is the beautiful pshat that Rav Schechter explained. He quoted it from Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, in the name of his father, of Moshe Soloveitchik, based on a Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says there are two ways to commemorate a miracle. One is pirsumei nisa, publicizing the miracle, demonstrating that we're remembering the miracle. And the second one is zecher l'nes, simply commemorating it with an observance. The Chasam Sofer explains that women are only obligated in af hein hayu ba'osu hanes, in the side, in the aspect which is pirsumei nisa, publicizing the miracle. But just to commemorate it, women are not obligated. So how do you know which mitzvos are pirsumei nisa? Said Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, anytime you recite a bracha of sha'asa nisim, that indicates that you are publicizing the miracle right now. So when do you recite sha'asa nisim? On Chanukah. Women are obligated on Chanukah. Purim. What about the Seder night, the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, said Rav Soloveitchik, that is a fulfillment of the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim. God did this miracle. And therefore, Heseba in Dalet Kosos are a Pirsumei Nisa. Ah, says Rav Soloveitchik, this whole idea of Pirsumei Nisa means when you see what's going on, when you see what someone is doing, you instantly identify that with a miracle. Ah, but wait a second. According to the Rav Yah, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar ben Yoel Halevi, Bizmanazeh, if you see someone leaning, do you identify that with chayrus, with freedom? Or no? Not at all. So what happens? We are now going back to our original checklist. When you commemorate Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have A, the obligation on the side of Pirsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle. Then you have B, Zecher L'Nes, the memorial. Well, wait a second. Women are only obligated in the Pirsumei Nisa side, not in the Zecher L'Nes side. So if we are leaning because of Zecher L'Nes, maybe it's like that beautiful medrash that Hashem took us out of Egypt in Derech HaSeba, that's Zecher L'Nes, women are not obligated in that. Well, wait a second. What about the other side? They're obligated, women are obligated in Pirsumei Nisa. Yeah, but according to the Rav Yah, there is no Pirsumei Nisa Bizman HaZeh. Because when you see people leaning, you don't think of freedom. And Mimela, there is a special reason why women are going to now rely on the Rav Yah. Because even if the men are going to rely on the Rav Yah, lechatchila, they should still have the side of the Zecher L'Nes, the Vayasev, the remembering the fact that Hashem took us out Beheseba. But women, they don't have the obligation of the Zecher L'Nes. They only have the Pirsumei Nisa. And if you only have the Pirsumei Nisa, according to the Rav Yah, Bizman HaZeh, there is no Pirsumei Nisa. And therefore, women are going to rely on the Rav Yah. Awesome, awesome. Beautiful pshat. And that's why many women are not makbid on doing Heseba. So, when do you need to do Heseba? You need to do Heseba when you eat matzah. According to the Ben Ish Chai, you need to do Heseba when you eat all four kesesim of matzah. It's interesting, by the way, that according to the Torah, obviously, you only need to eat one kazayas of matzah. B'diyevet, b'shas adchak, you only eat one olive's worth this size. Rav Schechter likes to say the palm of your hand, depends on the thickness, depends on the density, but you need to eat one olive's worth size. However, we actually eat three, four, or even five kazesim. Some have the minhag to eat five kazesim. One for motzi, one for matzah, one for korech, one for afikomen, and some even have a fifth for the second afikomen to remember zecher lepesach and Zecher either to the matzah that went with it, or maybe the chagiga. So you eat, according to the Ben Ish Chai, you're supposed to eat all your matzah leaning over. We mentioned that you're also supposed to drink 4 cups beheseba. You drink 4 cups on the night of the Seder, that's a derech cheirus. So the Gemara has 2 opinions. The Gemara in Pesachim wonders, well, the Gemara has a machlokes, which kosos, which cups should have heseba, should have leaning. So the Gemara says there were 2 opinions. One opinion said the first 2 cups need to have a seba, and the other opinion says the last 2 cups need to have a seba. Why would you think the last 2 cups? Well, because if tonight, the Pesach Seder night, is a journey, you become free at the end of the whole journey, the last 2 cups, that's when you're free, that's when you lean. The other opinion says, no, right now we're retelling the story, we're remembering our freedom, so the first 2 cups, and at the last 2 cups, it's already over, you already know what's going to happen, this story is over. So the Gemara has an interesting rule. The Gemara's rule is, since you're not sure which way to paskin, do you lean for the first 2, or do you lean for the last 2? You lean for both. Well, wait a second. Are you surprised by that? Why are you leaning for the first 2 and the last 2? You should say, Safek derabanan, when in doubt, in a rabbinic law, leave it out. When in doubt, leave it out. Sveka derabanan, lekula. So why don't I say, when I drink the first 2 cups, I don't need to lean. Why? Safek derabanan. Maybe the rabbis should rule that the last 2 cups are obligated to lean. And then, when I get to the last 2 cups, I should say, I don't need to lean now either, because me'ikra din, really, I was obligated to lean on the first 2 cups. So maybe you should say, I don't need to lean at all. Why don't you say, Safek derabanan lekula? So the Ran, Rabbi Nunisim, and the back of the Gemara, Rabbi Nunisim ben Reuven, in his super awesome, amazing commentary on the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak Lefasi. So the Ran is living in the 14th century, and he says, I'll tell you why. Because the only time you say, on a Safek derabanan, leave it out, is when maybe it should be like this, or maybe it should be like that. But in this way of Safek derabanan, if you did the Safek derabanan, the doubt on the rabbis, you would actually end up leaning at no point. You would say Safek derabanan on the first side and Safek derabanan on the second side, and then you would not lean at all. So he says, you don't say Safek derabanan to uproot your entire mitzvah. Another example of that is a city, let's say like Tveria, where the Gemara in Megillah has a Safek, whether or not the city of Tveria is meant to read the Megillah on the 14th or the 15th, is it walled or not? So we say Safek, you should read it both days. The Ran says, you don't say Safek derabanan lekula, when in doubt, leave it out, and then you don't have any Kriyas HaMegillah at all. No, you have to do Safek derabanan, but in this case, you're going to have Safek derabanan and you're going to do it on both sides. There are 2 different opinions what to do about Korech. I'm sure there are different people in this group who have different practices. Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to lean when you have Korech, but one time that the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says, is maror, when you eat maror, you do not need to lean. There are those who say maybe you can lean, but the practice is we do not lean for maror because maror is bitterness. And Heseba, as we started, is the demonstration of cheirus, of freedom. So how are you supposed to lean? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, based on the Gemara says that you should not eat leaning in a case of prakton. You should not eat leaning. Heseba is prakton. So the Gemara has this weird phrase. What is prakton? So there's a machlokas we've shown him there in the Gemara, whether prakton means on your back like this, and then the other opinion is on your face, lying down flat on your belly. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch, when it codifies this din, is machmer for both opinions. In Orach Chaim Seir, in Source 16, Tuf Ayin Beis, Sif Gimel, it says Kishu Mesiv, when you lean, Lo Yata Al Gabo, don't lean on your back like this, and Velo Alpanov, not on your face. And the 3rd criterion is velo al yamino, don't lean on the right side. Why shouldn't you lean on the right side? So the Rishonim, there are two opinions of the Rishonim why you should not lean on the right side. One is because most people were righties, and if you lean on the right side, it's going to be hard to move things around with your hand. Well, the nafkamina of that would be that if you are a lefty, then maybe you should dafka lean on your right, so your left hand is free to handle the matzah. However, there is another opinion. The other reason why you don't lean, this is two days quoted in the Rashbam, in his commentary in the Gemara, is that maybe shema yaktim kono leveshet, that if you lean on the right side, somehow the food is going to get trapped in the windpipe instead of going on the left hand. So according to that, it doesn't matter whether you're a lefty or righty, your internal anatomy is going to be the same. And therefore, we pass an halacha l'maisa that even if somebody is a lefty, they're going to lean specifically on the left side, even though it's harder for them because they're moving stuff around. How do you do actual heseba? So Rav Avadya Yosef points out, and Rav Soloveitchik said the same thing, that Heseba does not mean, I'm going to demonstrate it here, does not mean just leaning over like this at the edge of your chair. Heseba means leaning on something. So in antiquity, they would lean on a couch. So maybe you need to turn your chair sideways to learn to lean on the chair. Rav Avadya says you can lean on a bench or on the floor, or you could even lean on the person sitting next to you. How awesome is that? Eat your matzah while you're dripping the crumbs on the person next to you. The point is, maybe don't do that, but the point is that just tipping your ear over is not heseba. In the old days, it was going to be lying, you know, on a couch, all the way sprawled out. The best thing would be if we had enough room for lounge chairs at your Seder. Everybody gets a lounge chair and everybody leans over. Lamaisa, you know, it's hard to do that. So the easiest thing is just flip your chair so that the back of your chair is facing to the left and you lean over eating your matzah and your dalat kosos. So to summarize, we talked about the fact that Heseba, this is an expression, a manifestation of chayrus, of freedom. It could be understood either as a condition of all of the mitzvahs halayla or an independent mitzvah. The nafkamina, the practical difference is if you did your mitzvahs halayla, eating your matzah and drinking your four cups, and you didn't, b'di'evad, we paskan halacha l'maisa that you do not go back, that we are going to rely on the Rosh who says, we're going to rely on the Ravya for Ashkenazim. But the Rambam says that the reason you don't go back is because it's an independent mitzvah. Then we talked about the opinion of the Ravya. We connected it specifically to women. We talked about when it is that you need to do Heseba and now how you need to do Heseba. Just to conclude with one thought, this idea of Chayrus, of a person being a free individual, right? What does it mean? What does it mean that someone is free? It's interesting, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that in many contexts in history, people who were emancipated initially, right, that emancipation, that initial energy, quickly devolved into violence. And Rabbi Sacks, Zecher Livracha, has a similar point, that for many times in history, for many historical contexts, freedom was about breaking away. It was about breaking out of bondage. But what did that lead to? Anarchy, chaos, violence. Just look at the French Revolution and many other revolutions that led to terrible violence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is not freedom from Egyptians. This is freedom to. It's not freedom from slavery. It's freedom to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's freedom to embrace a life of meaning and purpose and mission and directing ourselves to arrive at Har Sinai. And so, yes, we are expressing Chayrus, and yes, that expression of Chayrus is in a night of many mitzvos, of many positive commandments, because those give us a context in which to live a life of Kedusha, of meaning, of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so Rav Aaron Soloveitchik points out that when we left Egypt, it was a journey of Chayrus, and therefore there was no violence whatsoever. It was a noble exodus. And that's the path that we're going to pursue today. We're going to lead lives of freedom, not freedom from, which would lead to anarchy. Rather, it's freedom to, freedom toward a mission of Avodas Hashem and a life of elevated status of Kedusha.